Hello guys, and welcome back to Injury Time Extra, a segment of Injury Time where we take a closer look at the players and things that they do off the field. While last time round we brought you the first part of a conversation with Sunil Chhetri, and Sandeep, it's the time that we bring the next part, and you were pretty much excited about it, isn't it?
Yes, mainly because Sunil Chhetri, as you know, he's got a storied career. He had spent time in Portugal, spent time in sometime in England, sometime in the US as well. And we know very little about his time, you know, away from India. So this part will feature the Indian captain, the Bangalore FC captain, talking about his life before he became the Sunil Chhetri and the time he's had and some brutal realizations that he had in his life and some great highs, some great lows. He spoke beautifully. He's a very articulate man.
Like you put it, the real Chhetri.
The real Chhetri, yes. Yes, that's exactly what you'll hear. So, give it a listen and hope you all like it.
And we want our listeners to kind of know, we always seen you play, the real you. So, could you say something about your beginnings?
Real me?
Yes, yeah. The real Sunil Chhetri. Because we've had conversation off the record.
So after listening and reading about the fake Chhetri. I was born to an army background. My father was an army, my mom is a housewife. As the father was an army, my mother was taking Nepal. She played for the Nepal National Team when she was 17. She got married. She didn't want it to. My father didn't want to. My father didn't want to either. But it was an arranged marriage, and she had to leave all her dreams. I think she was 16 plus when she came here. 17 plus she had me. 19 plus she had my sister. So all her dreams went down the drain. She was somebody who was very sporty and wanted to play and choose a career. But she tells me my father really encouraged her even after the babies, but then it became very difficult. It became very difficult. My father was working and was always, so my mother had to take care of me and my sister. She had to leave all her dreams of playing. She was a good volleyball player also. She's quite good man in all sports. Yeah, and then you know, journey started. Me, my mom, and my sister used to stay alone because my father was always out. That's why the bond between me and my mom is very strong. I always knew there was a crunch of money at my house, and I always wanted to earn as soon as possible. I didn't know which way, but I knew I had to start earning. We weren't poor, but things were limited. My father had to take care of us, and also a little bit of extended family stuff. It wasn't easy. I think he was earning some 8 grand that time. It was quite difficult. Come 20th of the month and you start feeling it. Sister couldn't see it because she was quite young. I could feel it because of the letters that dad used to send. That probably made me more mature, and I wasn't the one who used to demand stuff. My sister was. She was blunt. I wanted some of that. But I used to keep shut because I knew. And my mom appreciates that still now. But I knew I had to earn some way or the other. I never thought I'm going to be a professional footballer because I had no idea about professional football. I was thinking I'm going to go to St. Stephen College and then figure out. I think I would have been a hustler here and there, maybe a call center or something. I gave my NDA exams. I didn't want to go to the army because I didn't have enough balls to go to the army. It's not easy. So I didn't have a path. But because I was playing here and there, Monmohan saw me. I was playing for a club called City Club in Delhi. I played the Touring Cup preliminary round, and Monmohan saw me there. Fortunately, they saw me there, and I had no idea. So Monmohan called me then. When they called me, I thought they were calling me for the academy. Even for the academy, I was so thrilled, man. Imagine you are 16 years old in Delhi. No one knows you, and my mom wants you for the academy. I told my father, he was very happy. He was just a little bit skeptical as to how you're going to do it, where you're going to go. So, Dad, I'm going. Because the moment called the third day, you just travel. I said, Dad, I'm taking my chances. He couldn't travel with me, sadly. He had some work. So, I went. I went there, and he promised me he's going to come later. So, I went there. I was chilling, you know, I'm going to go to the academy 3 years and probably get a contract in some my league team, that time, national league team that time. So I went there, Subodh Bhattacharya was the coach, who's going to be my father-in-law now. He was a coach and
congratulations on that.
Thanks. Yeah, he was a coach. So he was told that these two guys, there was only Michael Joshi from Delhi, these two guys, we have a trials for the academy. So they were less men there. the main team was supposed to come for the off-season training. So he said, okay, fine, I'll see them. So he saw me in one of the games, he liked me, he gave me one more chance, they saw me, and then one of the days, Sham Thapa, and the whole woman, the chief, they come and they watched the team. They saw me, I scored a hat trick playing for Mundagan B team. Like they gave me one more week. Then I got a father. Because I was enjoying. Then I scored a back volley. Sham Thapa sir was there. Sham Thapa sir was the father's idol.
Okay. You know,
as he was there, he came to see the match. He should come. And so he came. My father came. So my father was sitting in the stand. So one of the games that he was playing, Sham Thapa called my father. I said to them, my father was so happy, man. He's still sitting with him. After that game, I had no idea. My father went in. Anjan Mitra was there, he said, we want to offer him a 3-year contract. My father comes up, out, and he says, they want to offer you a 3-year contract. I said, for the academy? He said, no, for the club. So they offered me some money, which was huge at the time for me. But after signing, I thought, wow, I could have asked for more. You know how a player takes for this. They offered me a decent amount of money for 3 years. And then my real struggle started, because till then, I was just somebody who was skillful. No formal education about how to play, how to be a professional.
That's where you got your first coach, right? Bagan.
Yeah, that was the first club. Yeah. But I had no education about being fit, not to eat this, not to eat that. This is through ball, this is the deep shape, nothing. Then my struggle started. And then the first year was great, second year wasn't that good. The coach got changed. Alok Mukherjee came in second year. He didn't believe me in too much. He believed in me too much. But then I believed myself, because once I was out of the team, I started like, I'm going to train hard, you know, proper Delhi guy, naked other types. I was stupid. I don't blame the coach. But then my father came again and he said, you know, just give your best. Don't like the third year again, was my best year. So the potential, I came back again. I scored some 28 goals in total in the whole season. And then I made a move to Leicester City. And then things started doing well. But yeah, man, I never thought that I'm going to be a professional footballer. Leave aside thinking or playing for the country or wearing the national jersey or captaining. If at that time somebody told me, you know what, this is a blank paper, write what you want. Whatever I have today, I couldn't have written. That time it would have been beyond my dreams.
Right.
Owning the car that I want, having the houses that I want, being the captain, 53 goals in for national. I couldn't have written. It's like if I ask Danny to write right now, he wouldn't be able to write eventually what I got.
Right.
So I'm quite blessed. And it all happened because of my parents, my family, the players that I played with, the coaches that I played under, the club that I played for. So yeah. Then I realized one thing, that the only thing that is in your hand is to work hard. The rest, everything, you can't think too much about. This is the biggest learning that I've got in my life, that don't think about things which are not in your hand. You just want to waste time. The only thing, you will play sometimes, you will be injured sometimes, you will lose sometimes. It is part and parcel of the game. The only thing that should be in your hand and is in your hand is to work hard. And since then, I just kept my head down and keep working hard. And that doesn't change now, hasn't changed now.
Going a little more back on your career, how is that boy growing up in a city like Delhi, where there are so many distractions? You could just go anywhere. You stay focused on making a career for yourself, not only as, like, not just as a footballer, but
I was on a verge of going away, man. Dad wasn't there, all freedom. I think the one part that I knew, the family's condition, kept me grounded. If we were a little bit affluent, if we had a little bit more money, I think we were fine. Probably I would have gone away.
We would have gone to Chhetri.
I wouldn't have gone to Chhetri. I would have gone away because I was in a great school. There were a lot of rich kids over there. A lot of parties, a lot of things that normally happen that distract you when you're a teen. There was. Because I knew the condition of my family, and there was two girls that I was taking care of, my mom and my sister. I always didn't cross that line. I was close. I was as any teenager. Fights, this, that, all the stupid stuff that you do when you're young. But then football kept me. Because you know, when you're passionate about something, your time, those things consume your time. So times that you might do shit things, you think, let's go and play football, let's go and play cricket. I was playing sports 24/7, man. Somebody called me at 2 o'clock at night, there's a badminton game, I would go. And it didn't matter if it's a badminton, basketball, kabaddi, go-go, chess, ludo, carom, anything. If it was sport,
the discipline is right.
I'll go. And it stays now also. If I can play, I'll go. Because nothing else in life can give the happiness of a sport. I've become quite competitive. I broke Kunal's TV after losing a game.
You thumbed when we played caroms. You were thumbing shots.
Yeah.
Told me that is fair.
Yeah. Yeah. So sport was something that really kept me away from trouble. I was almost on a verge. I wouldn't lie. I wasn't the best kid. My mom had difficulties, but at the end, I always. In fact, I'll share an incident. I used to steal money from my house. not big money, but as in, I used to steal money and always knew the condition, so I used to steal 5 rupees, 10 rupees here and there. So once I wanted something, I asked my mom that I want 50 bucks. My mom said, no chance in your dreams. It was some 20th or 21st of the month. And I knew where mom kept all the money. She knew that I've asked for it, and the money went missing. I stole it. I used some 20, 30 bucks, and 20 left. My mom came to know, and she tied me on a chair. In a chair, she tied me, and she blasted me. And she hit me with belts and with pipes and everything. She hit me so bad that she started feeling feverish. And then she untied me, and I was sitting with my sister in another room, completely bamboozled. Then I hear she was crying. And that I was like, wow, why is she crying, man? She, you know, she
beat me so much. Supposed to cry.
I never cry. You don't cry when mom hit, man. So she was crying, and I went to the room because I got really scared. You know, there was no other man in the house. So I went crying, and then she hugged me. She hugged me, and then she said something that changed my life forever. She said, I'm so sorry that we can't take care of your requirements that we are making a thief out of our son. That really shook me, man. That's one day that I realized, what the hell are you doing? And then I stopped. Then I completely stopped. That's one day that, even now my sister tells me this. My sister also started crying. So my mom is like, I'm so sorry. You know, me and your father can't take care of your requirements that they're making a thief out of you. That's the day I stopped. And a few days after, like after I signed my mom and all, so my mom stole 100 bucks from my wallet. I said I stole it. I said, okay. Yeah, and small things like that kept me and my mom still very close to each other. We were really aloof from my father first. Now we are close to father also. But me and mom sister very tight because of all these small incidents. Man.
We know of your career that you had so many clubs in India. How was the time you spent in Kansas or in sporting?
Kansas was more difficult. But it was the first time I went out. What happened is when I went to Kansas in the trials, I think I scored 9 goals in some 4 games. So what it does to your brain is like, it's easy. Mm-hmm. You're chatting, you go there, you walk in. And when I went there, so when I was playing those practice matches, it was trial players, some B team players, you know how it is.
Yeah.
So I went to the A team, I was on the bench. They didn't even try me. Again in training, you work hard, again in the bench. So I was thinking, what is this happening? So I went to talk to the coach, he's like, yeah, I like you. I like you, but you have to wait for a chance. So the 3 months that I worked hard there, and it's very difficult because, you know, in Europe, when you're staying in Europe, any break can come 8 hours from home. But there's no way. I just came once in 8 months, I think, back home. You can't come.
Right.
So staying away from my family, I was 24, I think, was so difficult, man. You know, you cry sometimes. You know, when you hear people saying you cried alone and you laugh, it's actually true. You actually sit there and you tear that drawing down your eyes. Like you're not crying. You're sitting and you just have nothing. A simple panwara is going to give you some happiness when he speaks in Hindi language. Or you get nothing. Nothing. So no family, no friend. And you just think, well, why am I here? But at that time when you read about what people think about you going there and how much they expecting, you just want to give it up. There's no option of not giving your best. And then I got a few games. One, I got an MLS Cup, then I got a league game, then I got the Manchester game. Things were getting better. But then the national team wanted me here for the Asia Cup. Yeah, they had an 8-month camp, you remember?
Yes.
So they called me, I didn't go. And the 4 months were left, they called me, I didn't go. Then there were 2 months left. So Bob said, see, if you're not starting there, if you want to come, I don't want to force you. So at that time I thought, let's go. So Peter Womans, who's still the coach now at Kansas, he said, listen, you're not the Messi of this club. you know, the best player in this club. If you want to go, you know what you're going to lose. Again, you have to come back and do it to me. So it's up to you. And he was very straight. You are a player of 18. You just made 18 now. You know, you can come and change. So you think what you're doing. If you want to go for a country, I can't stop you. But because I was lonely and all, I took the decision. I don't regret it because I came to play the Asia Cup. But then after, I couldn't go back. I had a 4-year deal. I talked to Peter Holmes again. He said the same thing. You have to come here, prove it to me again, and then we'll see. And I didn't have the courage. So that wasn't that great. But Portugal was lovely, man. Portugal is lovely because even after giving everything, when I wasn't playing first 11, there was no regret. Because the players like Bruma, Pedro, Eric Dyer, they were there in the main team, B team. So when I went there for the A team, I was signed for the A team. The coach saw me, like, get off, go to the B team. Because the pace was so fast. I always thought the skill touch are enough, but it's not. Because of the pace here, I don't blame our country, but the pace is a little bit slower than, I'm talking about Sporting Portugal.
Yeah.
They play Europa Cup, and they're fast. So I couldn't understand the pace, and I was a foreigner there. So the coach saw me, like, you know, you're not ready, just go to the B team. To my bad, like, when I went to the B team was better than the A team. All these players that I'm talking about right now, Bruma is in Galatasaray, he's the next big thing for Portugal. There's Eric Dyer, there's Pedro, who's in, there's one guy called Ilori. He's in Loris, he's in Liverpool B team. They're all good players, man. So I was training so good, I was enjoying it, you know, and everything was fast and was improving me. But then what was happening was from Monday to Friday you train, you come in the team also. But Saturday from the A team, four people will come because they are recovering there and they have to play. It's like if right now the random that we have, if you send 14, they have to play. It was killing me, man. Again, I got only 6-7 games, that didn't change. I never played a first 11 game. In Portugal, I never played one game also first 11. So I played 25 minutes. The maximum I got was 45 minutes. I got one goal, I think, in a cup game. That's it. So one day what happened was, there were 5 minutes left, extra time, and the goal changed me just to waste time. And then it shook me that I'm just being used to waste time. And I'm like, I can't stay here. There are players who have to do that, but I said, I'm 27, I can't do this. You know, back when I play weekend, week, I can't do this. Even though the coach was genuine, he always was fair. There was no partiality, it was very fair. The boy was so good. So when I was sitting, somebody else playing, I was thinking, he's good, man. You know, and there was no, but I thought it's not going to happen. I had 3-year deal there also. Then they said, you can go to, I was playing the B League with the B team. They said, you can go to a better club in the B League. And then you can come back. I said, no, man. If I have to go alone, then I better go to the country. So Portugal was outstanding. The club was great. The facilities are proper. The boys were so good. The training was so good. But just unlucky, man. I always hope that if I was 20, I would have stayed there. Seen out the year, second year, and things would have been so good. Like if Daniel and Lama get a chance, I would also go. Because the boys are so good, man. Sporting Club Portugal, the underage boys, they're so confident, they're so good, man. Look at where Eric Dyer is right on the waist, man. They do so well. So there are no regrets, enjoyed it. But then I was 27, I thought, listen, I have to play. Not playing kills my head, man. Then I don't behave well. So then I told the coach and I said, I have to go. And he said, yeah, I understand. Then I came back.
There was this moment in Euros when you were doing the television thing. England was playing it. And you said Eric Dyer will score with the pre-kick.
It is so difficult.
But no, most people did not know that.
Because they don't know him.
So he used to do that all the time over there.
Him and me were left. We have the competition. I also was pretty good at pre-kicks. Now people talk, they never said before. But with Renedy and Stephen, I never got a chance in the national team. So I used to do a lot of pre-kicks. And he used to win. And he used to always win. So when he came to the English side, that is Harry Kane and Rooney, he didn't get a chance. I told him that if he gets a chance, he's going to score. He's so good. And in coming times, you'll see, even for Tottenham, many players, there is Ericsson and there is Harry Kane. He seldom gets a chance. When he does, he's good, man. He's proper good from free kicks.
That about a time in Portugal, on the field, but off the field, how was it for you to adjust to the new country?
Great life. Then I understood. The first time, the answer was difficult.
Yeah.
But then I understood this is the way life is going to be. So I made peace of it. They gave me a lovely bungalow, man. It was a two-play. Great. The first, I was just staying near the sea, and it was 8 hours from my family. So whenever there was a 3-day break, I should come back home. I came 4 times home. My family flew also. But then you know you feel a little bit better, and you're a little bit older also, and you understand stuff. The life is so good in Lisbon. It's a proper good city to live. The climate is not European, very cold. It's not very cold. It's nice. So life was good there. The only thing why I had a 3-year deal with them, I was happy. They gave me a great car, good house to stay. The only thing that was not playing every week in, week out was what was troubling me. And that's why I came. The training was so good. Players that I was training with was so good. Everything was good.
What about the England move that almost happened? The QPR?
I signed for QPR, man. I went for Coventry first when I was 23 when I was in Bengal. What's the Wales guy name? Chris Coleman.
Chris Coleman, yeah.
He was a gaffer. The first day, there was a shooting training. The main team was there. I came second, man. So, you know, you miss you out. I came second. I was like, wow, man, I'm going to sign a contract. Yeah, I'll live. The second day, there was 4-4. Cold weather, January. Man, the defenders, they whacked me left. And I was about to cry, man. It was cold. It was wet, slushy. And 3 days more, like the training that I was lost, Chris Coleman called me and he said on my face, your basic is zero. Your tempo, I'm sure in a country, you're not playing the same tempo. Your shooting, your skill is fine, touches are good, but you will never play here if you know the basic is gone. So you have to go back and make yourself better, then come back again. In my head, I was saying, thank you, man, I just want to go home. You know, as I was saying, I can't because you were just straight and honest to me. I wasn't ready, I realized that. But then the QPR deal happened, we signed a contract, but they didn't give me the work permit. That day was bad, man. It was one day before the Nehru Cup finals. So I got the news before the Nehru Cup final. My agent called me and I took my car out. Let's do this final. I drove for like 2 hours. I didn't know where I was. I was so devastated. I thought finally I've signed a deal. The deal was done. I'm going to go to KPR. Great club, good money, everything. I worked out in.
Personally, it could have been really shattering. How do you come out
of it? Of course. But next year, the Nehru Cup finals, I went to talk to Bob. And he said, football is just a short career. You can't have regrets. You cannot enjoy your success for too long and you cannot have regrets. It's too short. All the regret and all the happiness when you're done. Then you sit back, have a coffee, have a drink, and then think, that day I did this. Not while you're playing. He gave me such a good advice. It's too short. You can't think, oh, I want a tournament. No, you can't. And you can't think, oh, I missed a goal, team lost. No. But next day, there's one more game. I just brush it off. We won the Nehru Cup.
Right.
It gave me immense happiness. Pradeep scored a blinder. And then just these things makes you stronger. Because you go through such a hard time and I think it's okay, man. Next. Just keep your head up and just keep trying.
And this is a leading question. Of all the clubs that you played for, would you say where have you had the most fun?
BFC.
And the question is, 4 years ago when we first had an interview, you said typically 2 years is the time that you spend at a club. You said, let's see. Now it's 4 years now and you're still happy here.
I would still say let's see, but I'm very happy there. Unless it threw me out, probably I wouldn't move.
So what is it about the club, the city, the fans, the media?
The owners, the team, the team's mentality, my players, the core group, the fans, the city. Apart from the media managers and all, was shit.
But the media is fine.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, good man. You know the best part is, with the media, I never had a problem. When I've played bad, right, that he's bad. He's worse, you know. No problems. Thing is when things don't make sense, when you just want to poke someone just for the sake of it. You know, when you play bad, the first person who knows that you played bad is me, myself. You know it. And when you read about yourself that he was bad, out of color, great. Even to the extent that he doesn't have a good touch, whatever. If whatever you feel because he was bad, I will take it. But thing which is not called for, which just doesn't make sense, just want to bring someone down, that is not nice. But thankfully in Bangalore, I don't want to say which state is bad, but Bangalore, they have been genuine. Also, we are winning so much, it helps.
Right.
But it's been genuine, man, which is nice. The fans have been brilliant, man. That's. You know, a lot of players, I'll tell you, don't take names. But signing and thinking about the fans first. Like, how would I go out and play against them? There's so many players, when we talk, they think, how would I go and play against them now? So the fans have been brilliant, man. So it's the whole chain. Every chain is important for this club. Everyone is happy. And there's emotional bond in this club. They don't want to leave this club. Unless the club thinks that we should go. Probably I'm not going. Most of them are not going.
There is a story I probably don't remember. When you first came here and you were playing right here, playing on the left wing, you're not used to it. I think 4 or 5 games you didn't score.
Six games.
So I remember I had written in the preview that you have to score because I haven't scored. Then you scored in 3 or 4 games, doubles.
Yeah.
Then you came and one day we were having a conversation. I think you just came and said, scoring enough. And then that was a great moment. I just wanted to let you know.
See, one thing I've realized in my life is I work hard, but I'm really blessed. Scoring will never be a problem. It's just my mind, man. I have to be happy and I have to look positive. But whichever time that I've not scored, I've realized you just be negative and you start doubting yourself, which a lot of youngsters also do, should do. Just back yourself and work hard. You know, it's very automatic. So the moment you're not scoring, you tend to work lesser. And it has a reverse effect. It should be the other way. Not scoring, you just have to be positive, back yourself and work really hard. Things will come.
Also, last year AFC Cup, we were there, devastating what happened. So how do you come up with some, first of all, going there, being at that level where no Indian club has reached, how was that? And then so close to your dream, and you could have won that Vinit missed a chance at the end of the game and stuff like that. So
that was one of the best experiences I had in my life, man. Playing AFC Cup finals is there, man. Is the thing. You don't realize how good we had done as a club in the tournament, and that's why not even the final hurts. Because no matter what kind of team we make, you're not guaranteed a final. How good you play, you're not guaranteed a final. It takes a lot of things to come together for you to reach a final. One lucky moment, one red card for the other team, one penalty probably. You know, like the Eugene's dribble against Kichi. We were 1-0 down and they were dominating us. Eugene dribbles, penalty, 1-1. If that moment doesn't happen, probably we won't win. So all these small things, everything came together for us last year, and of course we worked hard. And we reach final, and that's why it hurts. And unlike what people thought, we were going to get hammered by Air Force, we played so well.
Yeah.
They didn't get clear chances, and at the end, we had more chances.
Mm-hmm.
Vinit connects that.
Yeah,
man, his volley is good generally.
Mm-hmm.
It's a goal. So we came that close, but it's all right. It's done, it's gone now. But now we know what we can achieve if we apply ourselves properly. And AFC is something that we take really seriously now. So I just hope that we can probably do the same or maybe better. But the mantra stays same, one match at a time. Next is Bangladesh. If we don't win that, we're not going anywhere. Just one match at a time. But we want to do well.
And Indian football in itself as a whole has been doing very well of late. You come to the top hundreds. That's what we all want this to happen. You are the face leading it. So where do you see this going? Or do you think, I mean, we feel there is a lot of talent in the country. You can go into top 100 easily.
I don't take the rankings too seriously. You know, ranking, if we lose one match at our home against Macau, let's suppose, God forbid, we go 30-40 out. If you win one good game against Pakistan at their home, at an AFC tournament, we gain 30 more. So I don't take rankings too seriously. I'm very happy that we 1-0-1. But what really makes me happy is that 15 games, we have just lost 1 or 2 and 130 or 12, drawn 1. That makes me happy to continue. Beating Guam at home was good. Beating Puerto Rico here was good. Beating Myanmar at Myanmar was good. These games are not easy games. That makes me happy. That is the real test. We have to build on it. Probably beat Lebanon now. They are a great side. Probably try to beat Pakistan at home. Then you know that you're making progress. Rankings will be haywire. It's always haywire. You know it.
Yeah.
The way it works. But you're staying at 101. If you talk after 2 years and you're still 101, that's a good job. Suddenly from 114 you went to 101 is great. But you know what? They were 101 then, they are 101 now, 101, 99, 105, 101, 103. Then that's like hard work.
Right.
Then you're doing something good. Because one good game, one bad game ranking, especially at the big tournaments, the point system is like that.
Yeah.
Right. But what is going to give me happiness as far as the national team is concerned is to qualify for the Asia Cup. That is paramount. That is the main thing. And we've taken a very good step, very small but a good step. Getting points in Manama is not easy. So we got the 3 points. Now we'll try our best to get 3 points against Pakistan at home. Then we have taken another small step.
Right.
Qualify for the Asia Cup. And that'll be so good, man. Imagine for the club here.
Right.
We qualify and we go to the AFC, same in the final. And there, it'll be so good, man.
Well, you were there in Doha in 2011. How was it?
massive. It's like World Cup for us. It is World Cup for us, the Asian teams. Especially for us, we were lucky that we got the first, third, fifth team. First was Australia, third South Korea, fifth Bahrain. And there was no chance, but still, we enjoyed it, man. That's the kind of tournament you want to play. We're playing a friend against Lebanon. That's what you want to play. So Lebanon is here. We are here. Lebanon is here. The next step. And then the last step is Japan. Now. So we've got to play the Lebanons, the Qatars, you know, these teams to think, oh, but this is the standard. We have to reach here then. And the Thailands and all. Then there comes the last step, which is UAE, Uzbek, Japan, South Korea, Australia. They are the, like, the main. But then the second layer is there. The Lebanons, you know, the Kyrgyzstan, the Thailand, the Palestine. And we are somewhere knocking the third, second door. We need to be second and stay there. You know, we're in the second stage and we're staying there. So we are playing Lebanon, beating them, losing, drawing, we're there. American rock, look at Thailand, what they're doing. They were with us third tier. They went to second tier, stayed there. Now they're knocking, they're playing the world, even though they're getting thrashed in the last one.
Yeah.
But they're there.
Right.
So they know now they're there. Beating Thailand is going to be different for us right now. We can't beat Thailand right now. Probably. So they have to improve that much. So that's our plan. Get there, beat the second tier. You know, from 10 to 18 ranking in Asia, stay there, and then you can knock. Like how North Korea knocked,
right.
Like how Thailand knocked. That's where you can knock. But to stay there is going to be so difficult. I don't demean the teams that we're going to play, Sri Lanka and all the South Cup thing, but try to send the under-23 team there,
right.
The South Cups and all. Think about the next one, because even the under-23 is going to do quite well in South Cup. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a thankless tournament. You win it, Saaf jeet kya hai. You don't win it, what? Saaf haar gaye.
Yeah.
You know? So, it's great to win a South Cup, but then we should try to send the under-23 team there as a development program. And then we're going to knock these teams. Getting a Lebanon friendly was great. These are friendlies that you need. Lebanon, Palestine, Puerto Rico, that level where you know what, they're a little bit better than us. And you know, we Indians, we do better. We do a little bit better when we get a little bit better opponents. Like right now, Japan, now they're going to be a little bit very difficult. But the second time, we should aim and we should try to play them quite often.
And you've been the face of Indian football for a long time now. Before you, there was Bhutia, before that, there was Ayam Vijayan. Who was next, according to you?
Next is
JP, man. You are the you've played for a long time.
There are many, and to be very honest, from my heart, I want them to achieve much more than what Bajung achieved or what I achieved, why am I achieved. That would mean the country is doing well. You know, why do you just think that they're going to be a next J3? They'll be much better than me. I would believe Danta is going to be massive for our country. I want to believe Daniel is going to be great. I want to believe that every year we can produce 30 more Daniels, 40 more Dantas. Then we're doing good. It's not just about getting the next Bajung or next Chetri. It's not going to be enough. When there was Bajung, we weren't winning big tournaments. When there's Chetri, we're not winning, we're not playing Asia Cup every thing. So we need much more. We need 20 Jaises every year. We need 20 Jingans every year. We need 10 Rubins every year. We need 10 Amrindas every year. These are the names that I have trust on. I want to see Amrinder, Gurpreet, Sandesh, JJ, Udanta to play more than 15 years. And all the others who are going to come, give them a lot of competition. These guys that I could name look very good. I can't take Vijay's name because when I'm gone, he's going to be gone. But of course, he's so good. But I have huge hopes from the other names that I've taken, and they're doing really good. I just hope that they keep on doing it.
And before you leave, I just read something that you are going to be the first Indian player who's going to go above 70 in FIFA in terms of level.
Oh, yeah.
73 or something is
great,
tentatively.
Man. Good, man.
So, congratulations. Do you play?
I play. I used to play and I've stopped. I used to play more when I was alone, but when friends are around, I want to chat with them and not play. Yes, but yeah, it's a great feeling, man. Number three, man. I'm going to be a little more faster there.
Yeah.
I've played with you in Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And
the only problem that I have with FIFA is at the last edition they gave Keegan more speed than me, which is impossible. Which is impossible, man. If they gave Ulanta, then I understand. But Keegan be more faster than me, man. Somebody showed me a screenshot where Keegan's pace was more than mine. Unbelievable, man. How can FIFA do that mistake, man? If they showed Ulanta's pace more than me, I understand.
Probably
used to be
big.
But you were going to be replayed, I was telling him, and
yeah.
My friend collaborated the story, playing with him, and you came off the bench, scored in the Madrid derby,
wow.
El Clasico, and Champions League final.
I was playing for?
Real Madrid, I was playing Real Madrid.
Wrong team!
Wrong team.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
That was Sunil Chetri, the skipper of Bengaluru FC, the talisman of Indian football, talking about his life as a footballer and the life before he became what he is today. was a great conversation to have.
Great conversation. I particularly liked the ending because I always wanted to tell him about FIFA. And it's very sad that Keegan Pereira is quicker than Chetan in FIFA. Come on, FIFA people, keep up.
Yeah, that cannot happen.
That just cannot happen.
Just cannot happen.
So anyway, we hope you had fun over the two-piece conversation that we've had. And we'll keep trying to bring you more players with more focus on their life outside the field. Get to know the players and not just the one
that you see on the field.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, until we bring you that, our regular episode, the season review of the I-League, will be out later this week. So do stay tuned for that too. So until then, have a great week and enjoy the game.